The car came crashing through the walls of the house.
A freak accident drove their family away.
You moved out of the house, but you want your security deposit back.
But the landlord doesn't see the problem.
When the car hit, it actually caused structural damage inside the bedroom.
Right.
Okay, and you acknowledge that.
No, the car didn't penetrate through the room, ma'am. Her son has temper tantrums. He did more damage than the car did.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Gina and James Jones are suing their former landlord, Brendan McElmore, for the return of their security deposit. The plaintiffs say they were forced to move after a car crashed into their son's bedroom.
Order. All rise.
This case number 56 on the count in the matter of Jones versus McElmore.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Party has been sworn in. You may be seated. Have a seat, please.
Mr. and Mrs. Jones, you rented a house from the defendant.
Yes.
And you lived there peacefully, paid your rent. Everything was fine. Until a car came crashing through the walls of the house. In what room?
Where my son's room is.
One of the children's bedrooms?
Yes.
Not a car owned by anybody that you knew?
No.
And you subsequently moved out of the house because it had not been repaired?
Yes.
And you want your security deposit back?
That's correct.
You want a lot of other things, emotional distress. You're not going to get that. But you want your security deposit back. And Ms. McElmore is not forthcoming in giving you your security deposit back. Ms. McElmore says she's suing you because you broke your lease, because it really wasn't so bad. Is that your defense?
Yes, ma'am.
Ridiculous. You have a picture of what it looked like?
Yes.
I'd like to see it. Okay, when did you move into the house?
We moved in April 26, 2013. 13.
And the rent on the house?
$1,550.
And your security deposit was how much?
$1,550.
And on what date was the accident?
It was December 29th.
Between April 26th, which is April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, did you pay your rent?
Yes.
Did they pay their rent?
Yes.
Did they pay their rent on time?
Most of the time.
Great. So they were good tenants?
Yes.
And prior to this problem, when the house was hit by a car, they had not given any indication to you that they planned on moving out and breaking their lease? They
not
had
at
a
all.
Year's lease?
No.
Good. Your children go to school?
Yes.
They go to school in the neighborhood?
My son is homeschooled, and my daughter, she goes to a school further downtown.
Okay.
And also, Your Honor, we were intending to renew our lease as well.
Was this person drunk or what?
I don't know the circumstances as to what the person was, if they were intoxicated or not, because when it happened, I was just trying to get her to calm down until the police came. And when they came, I let them take over because there were so many people around. I just got a report. Well, not a report, but I got a little thing from the police, her information, which her daughter gave to.
About what?
About any information they got from the person who was driving the car.
Okay. So when the car hit, it actually caused structural damage inside the bedroom.
Right.
Okay, and you acknowledge that?
No.
Well, of course it did. I see the pictures. It caused structural damage inside the bedroom.
Crack in the wall, if that's structural.
That's structural damage inside the bedroom.
I have the police report.
I don't care what the police report says. I have eyes.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, on what date were these pictures taken?
The date of the accident.
Okay, and on what date did you move out?
We moved out officially. We had our walkthrough on February 7th.
What date did you move out?
We had everything out on February 7th.
Okay, you physically, you and your family, did you move out before that or did you wait until February 7th?
We were no longer staying in the unit on February 3rd.
Did you pay any rent in January?
Yes.
Ms. McElmore, did they pay January's rent?
Yes, January.
Okay. And then they moved out. So that was nice of them to pay January's rent, but they lived there. Do you have pictures of what the house looked like on February 1st, February 2nd? Or February 3rd? The interior of the house.
Not before me.
Okay, well, then if they're not here, they don't exist.
May I say something, Your Honor? They moved out and gave me the keys on February 4th.
Fine. So when did you have the house fixed, Ms. McElmore?
Starting December 31st. I was out of town. The next day I returned immediately, December 31st, ma'am.
When did it finish?
It completed in March, I believe, early March.
Well, they have to get their deposit back.
She did not pay her rent for the month of February. She pays on the 26th of the month.
Doesn't matter. I don't care. They did not have full occupancy and use of their house through no fault of their own, through no fault of yours either. But I wouldn't let a child of mine sleep in that bedroom.
He's 16, ma'am.
Let a child of mine, I don't care whether a child of mine is 16 or 46, I wouldn't let them sleep in this bedroom because there looks as if there's structural damage to the room that can cause injury. And they didn't have full occupancy and use of the house. They were very nice to pay you rent at all for January.
Just a crack on the wall, ma'am.
It's not a crack in the wall.
The car didn't penetrate through the room, ma'am. Her son has temper tantrums. He did more damage than the car did. He puts holes in the wall, through the wall.
Talking about holes. This is where the accident happened. I'm looking at where the car hit. I'm looking at the cracks around the window and the cracks above the window. That, Ms. McElmore, is structural damage. And I wouldn't let a relative of mine sleep in a house in a room that had structural damage like this from the force of a car hitting a wall like this. And that's what the inside looked like.
That looks
like... I'm talking about the wall.
Correct.
Not the furniture, the wall. You have to give them their deposit back.
Judge, the house was not condemned by health and safety, the fire department, or anybody.
That would be your problem. That's your problem.
I went to them, and she said she went to them, and they would not do anything about it because there was no damage.
Ms. McElmore, this is your house. They are tenants of yours.
Yes.
Implicit in any lease, either written or month to month, which can be oral, is what we call in the law an implied warranty of habitability, which means that every portion of that house that you're renting to them and they are paying for, pay careful attention, mm-hmm. and they are paying for is capable of being lived in through no fault of theirs as tenants. They were not able to live in one room of that house.
We couldn't pull her son out of that room playing games while the contractors were there trying to assess the damage.
It doesn't matter. The son didn't pay. Listen to me. The son didn't pay you rent. They paid you rent. And I'm telling you that this house had structural damage as a result of the impact of that car, which came through on the inside by virtue of cracks in the interior wall. They don't have to stay in a house like that. Ms. McElmore, let me put it to you this way, in a way maybe you'll understand, because I don't think you're a bad lady. I just think you don't want to give up the money. If these two people came in to see the house before they rented it, and they saw a big gaping hole in the front, mm-hmm. and the cracks in the walls inside, there is a substantial likelihood that they would not have rented it. They say, you know, I'll go look at another house. We can pay $1,550 a house right next door that doesn't have a hole in the outside wall and what appears to be structural damage inside. So they weren't living in the premises that they bargained for. No fault of yours. You try to get the ball rolling, whether it was slow or not or fast, but it was through no fault of theirs. It doesn't matter. It's your house. You're the landlord. Somebody is going to lose money.
Within 3 days, I started working on the house.
It doesn't matter what you started to do. They're not required to live in a premises that they feel is unsafe. Now, what you've told me, Ms. McElmore, is for all the time that they lived there, they paid their rent.
Yes.
And you never moved to evict them, so you were satisfied with them as tenants. The only time they said that they are leaving is because the house looked like this. They're not required to put your hand down. They're not required to live there. And you have to return their money to them, $1,550, judgment for the plaintiff. Your counterclaim's dismissed for the rest of your rent.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Williams versus Spencer. Step forward.
Donna Williams is suing her former roommate, Guy Spencer, for a false arrest, moving expenses, and the return of property. Guy is countersuing for harassment.
Mr. Spencer, what kind of housing do you live in?
Good morning.
And just my question was, what kind of housing do you live in?
It's a senior community.
So you have to be over a certain age? Is that what I'm...
Yes, ma'am.
How old do you have to be in order to live in your community?
I believe it's 50 and over.
And how old are you, Mr. Spencer?
66. When you get to be my age, you lose it. That's why I got thrown off with the age.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
We don't file protective orders in lieu of going to housing court to get our tenants out of our apartments. A protective order is only filed when you are at risk of life or limb or health.
And later today...
Are you still paying for the truck?
No, ma'am.
Has Mr. Lewis been paid off for the truck?
No, ma'am.
The truck is now in your name alone?
No, ma'am.
It's in your name and your ex-wife's name?
Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Donna Williams is suing her former roommate, Guy Spencer, for a false arrest, moving expenses, and the return of property. Guy is countersuing for harassment.
Okay, is this a public housing facility or is it a subsidized housing facility?
It's a senior community.
Is it a subsidized housing community?
No.
Do you pay rent?
Yes, ma'am.
How much rent do you pay for your apartment?
I pay roughly $265.
Who else lives there?
Just me.
This is what the case is about. You rented a room from him?
Yes.
Is that right? When did you rent a room from him?
In May of 2011.
How long did you live there?
Approximately two months and 2 weeks. 2 months, 1 week.
So the events that you refer to in this complaint happened 2 years ago?
Yes, ma'am.
And what happened, according to Mr. Spencer, according to you, in your answer, was that she was your roommate and it wasn't working out. You asked her to leave. She didn't leave. So you went to the police and filed a restraining order to get her out of your apartment. That's what you said. You want me to show you what you wrote?
No,
that's what you said.
I agree with you.
Good. Do you have a copy of the restraining order that you filed?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Your Honor.
I'd love to see it. I want to see the allegations that you made against her when you filed the restraining order.
That's the first one. This is the second one.
This doesn't say what you accuse her of doing. I'm looking for what you say she did.
She was making threats.
Shh. I want to see what you said she did. This doesn't say what you are alleging she did. This doesn't contain a narrative of what you claim she did.
Okay.
Let me start again, Mr. Spencer. She was your roommate. It wasn't working out. You asked her to leave. This is according to your answer. She said she didn't want to leave. So you went to the police to file a restraining order to get her to leave your house. That's what you wrote in your answer. Do you want me to read it to you? Do you want me to read to you what you swore to, Mr. Spencer?
That's a paraphrased version.
No, it's not paraphrased. Let me read it to you very carefully. Donna had a problem with the woman I was dating. She also called the cops on me when the refrigerator wasn't working to tell them that she was starving. The arrangement wasn't working out, so I asked her to move, and she refused. I filed a restraining order to get her out of my house. That's not paraphrasing. That's exactly what you wrote and swore to. You want to see it? Do you want to see it? Is my question. That's either a yes or a no. Do you want to see it?
I've seen it, Your Honor.
Very good. Okay. A, Mr. Spencer, that is not a reason to file for a protective order. We don't file protective orders in lieu of going to housing court to get our tenants out of our apartments. A protective order is only filed when you are at risk of life or limb or health because of some imminent danger that somebody else is presenting, not because you want them out of your house. So,
yes, Your Honor.
I'm speaking. So your counterclaim's dismissed, period. End of discussion for a dollar, which is nonsense. Next, I'm not even allowing you to speak. Next.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You used the police department as a housing court. You're not allowed to do that. She shouldn't have had a restraining order based upon your sworn deposition to me.
And later today.
If the truck was in your name alone, would you pay for the truck?
Absolutely.
Great. Isn't that wonderful?
Real case. cases, real people. Judge Judy. Donna Williams is suing her former roommate, Guy Spencer, for a false arrest, moving expenses, and the return of property. Guy is countersuing for harassment.
Okay. What happened was 2 years later, she's arrested on a warrant, on a protective order that she said she didn't know anything about. She had to hire a lawyer for $1,200 in order to defend her. My question to you, Miss Williams, between the time you finally left the apartment because he got this protective order and the time you were arrested on the warrant, had you had any contact with Mr. Spencer?
No, ma'am.
Did you go to his house?
No.
Did you call him?
No.
When did she come to your house? After she left your house, when did she come to your house?
Several days. She called and violated the restraining order. Is that what you mean?
No. She shouldn't have had a restraining order, sir.
Okay.
You lied to the police. You used the police department as a housing court. You're not allowed to do that. She shouldn't have had a restraining order based upon your sworn deposition to me. Do you understand, Mr. Spencer? Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $1,200. Out!
Parties are excused. You may step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Lewis versus Clark. Step forward.
Norman Lewis is suing his former son-in-law, Rogers Clark, for the unpaid balance on a truck he purchased for him and his stepdaughter.
Mr. Clark, I'm going to start with you, sir. You were, for a brief time, married to Mr. Lewis's stepdaughter.
Yes, ma'am.
And while you were married to Mr. Lewis's stepdaughter, the two of you, let's say the two of you, were in need of a second car.
Yes, ma'am.
She had a car. Mr. Lewis was kind enough to offer to purchase a car for the two of you. And he did, and spent how much money, sir?
A little over $5,000.
And that was when?
That would have been in October of 2012.
Now, Mr. Clark, I am correct that you primarily used this truck.
Yes, ma'am.
And while you and Mr. Lewis's stepdaughter were still together, payments were made to Mr. Lewis on the truck.
Yes, ma'am.
And the truck was in your name and your wife's name.
Yes, ma'am.
But then you and your wife separated and ultimately divorced.
Yes.
You took the truck.
Yes.
You had the truck.
Yes.
You stopped paying for the truck.
No, ma'am.
Are you still paying for the truck?
No, ma'am.
Has Mr. Lewis been paid off for the truck?
No, ma'am.
So that you are driving the truck. The truck is now in your name alone?
No, ma'am.
It's in your name and your ex-wife's name?
Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful. If the truck was in your name alone, Mr. Clark, would you pay for the truck?
Absolutely.
Great. Isn't that wonderful?
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Okay. Do you have the title?
I do have the title.
Wonderful. You're the ex-wife?
Yes.
Great. Why don't you sign the title over to Mr. Clark?
Your Honor, may I make a comment?
Yes.
My daughter also executed a state of Colorado power of attorney for motor vehicle purposes that actually assigned all right, title, interest, and responsibility to Mr. Clark.
So then she wouldn't have any objection to just signing over the title to him?
I did not even know about that, Your Honor.
Mr. Clark was informed of it.
Fine. Let's be happy here. I'm
absolutely
about ready to make everybody happy and whole.
Okay.
Right? Great. You can step up and sign that, please. Do you have a pen that you can let them borrow? You have a pen in your pocket?
I do not. That's a cell phone stylus.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you need to print your name there and sign there.
As Clark?
No, you're on there as Westbrook.
Okay.
Now you're going to pay for it, right?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
How much is left on it?
I have actually a statement here as to the total expenses involved, including a principal balance on the truck, which is $3,601.04.
That's all I want to know. What's left on the truck? $3,600. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that easy? Perfect. Give him the title. Now pay it off. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pardon the excuse. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
You say the dog is mine, he says the dog is his. In whose name is the dog registered?
He let the registration lapse. She was no longer registered at all.
You know, we're not going to split the dog in half.
Next, Judge Judy.
I'm happy it's the close of a chapter of my life.
I gave him many, many opportunities to either pay me off or return the truck, and he declined to do either.
It was just not going to happen.
The situation is the poster child for no good deed goes unpunished.
Just move on.
Glad to put a stop to it and get on with life.